Henry Ford, probably you've heard that name before, the founder of the Ford Motor Company, once said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And I suppose what he's getting at there is that how you think, your attitude, your beliefs, how you view things, your mindset determines success or failure, determines how things go in your life. Our mindset is really important. It really matters. It has an impact on how we think, how we feel, on the direction of our lives. Now, in Philippians, over the past wee while, we've been getting insights into Paul's mindset. But at the very start of chapter 2, if I take you back to that, chapter 2, verse 5, you may recall Paul urging the Philippians in their relationships to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And that was all about humility, obedience, sacrificial love. But last time, Philippians 3, 1 to 14, we learnt an awful lot about Paul's mindset, how he sees things as he himself follows Jesus. Now remember, he's under house arrest, he's awaiting trial, potentially the death sentence. However, in the middle of it all, as he thinks about his religious CV, and that was all very impressive, in the middle of all of it, chapter 3, verse 8, Paul writes, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And then in verses 12 to 14 of chapter 3, there's a direct link to the passage we read today. Here is Paul's mindset. If you want to know how Paul sees things, how he views his life, his circumstances, his future, look with me again at those couple of verses. They're really important as we get into our reading for today, our passage today. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what's Paul saying here? Well, he's saying, I think, I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived spiritually. But Paul's saying, I'm saved by grace. I'm in Christ. I'm pressing on. And he's saying that my mind is set on Jesus, on the gospel, and my mind is set on glory and on heaven. That's what he's saying. And I find that so remarkable, because if you think about this man's life, if you think about Acts chapter 9, you'll probably know the story, I'm sure. Saul, in Acts chapter 9, was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He wanted to destroy, annihilate the church. He wanted to throw all the believers in prison. And at the end of chapter 9 in Acts, having met the risen Jesus, having had his heart and his life transformed, the same man was preaching all about Jesus. His mindset, how he saw things, was radically transformed. How he saw his life and his circumstances was changed. And now his mindset is dominated by the gospel and by glory. A radical transformation. Now, what about us? Because that's a really important question, isn't it? What about you and I as we sit in this building on another morning in the comfort? What about us? What is our mindset? You think about your life right now. As you survey the scene of your circumstances, you think about all that's going on, as you think about your future, what is my mindset? Really important question. Look with me at chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, because it seems to me that Paul is really concerned with the mindset of these Philippian believers. You look at verse 15. He writes, all of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if in some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So Paul knows that the people he's writing to are not perfect. When you see mature there in verse 15, he's not saying that they're perfect. He's already said And essentially, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. So he's not saying they're perfect. He knows that these people are ordinary people like him, ordinary people like you and I. They're saved by grace, but they're having a hard time in life. They're sinners and they're facing opposition. There's false teachers. There's quarreling in the church. And in light of all of this, Paul talks about his mindset. In verses 12 to 14, we've already read that. And as he follows Jesus, he calls on the Philippians, verse 15, to take such a view of things. And what he's saying there, really, is they ought to have the same mindset that he has. Take such a view of things. All of us should take such a view of things. Or in verse 17, he calls on them to join together in following my example. Keep your eyes on people like me. People like, I'm sure he was referring to Timothy, Epaphroditus, other followers of Jesus. Paul loved these people, didn't he? He cared for them, and he longed for them to stay on the right track. He wanted, as the Message paraphrase puts it, he wanted God to clear their blurred vision. If they'd gone off track, if they'd got confused by these false teachers, he wanted them to have a passion to know Jesus more, a desire to grow in grace, to press on, to keep going, to have a mindset like his. And his mindset was dominated by the gospel and glory. And he longed for them to have that same mindset. I love how the ESV Study Bible puts it. I think this is Paul's call to the believers. Join me in humble, radical dependence on Christ. Isn't that what he's calling them to? Humble, radical dependence on Jesus. Now, what is your mindset? Today, as you sit in this place, what's your mindset? How do you see things? If you're a believer, isn't this the right mindset, if you want to put it in those terms? You to see things, to view things, to have a perspective that is dominated by Jesus, the gospel, and heaven and glory. Isn't that the right mindset? Isn't that the right way that you and I should see the world, see our lives, see our circumstances? Because it's that mindset that leads us to Jesus. It's that mindset that ultimately will lead us to heaven, to glory. These believers at Philippi needed to hear this. They needed this reminder. And I think it's really encouraging and helpful for us today because we live in a noisy, busy, confusing, distracting world, don't we? Think about your Monday to Friday, your Monday to Saturday, maybe even today. It's noisy, it's chaotic, there's so much going on. Isn't it good to just press pause? I assume that's why Pause for Prayer is called Pause for Prayer on a Thursday. You press pause, you come to God's Word, you come to the Gospel, and we are reminded here in Philippians that we ought to let the Gospel shape our hearts and our lives. We ought to let the Gospel influence how we live, how we see things as we follow Jesus together. So this is the right mindset to have. But if there's a right mindset, then naturally there's a wrong mindset. And that's what Paul highlights for us next in verses 18 to 19. And the wrong mindset leads to an entirely different destination. So from your mindset to what is your destiny in verses 18 to 19. Now, as you know, I'm a blow-in. It's not the term for it. I'm relatively new to Mid-Ulster. I used to drive through many years driving past here, through Moneymore, up to County Armagh. But over the past few months, I have been using the sat-nav again. I hadn't really used sat-nav in a long time, but flat out on the sat-nav. And it can be quite confusing at times, as you know. We're all familiar with that voice, aren't we? Now, it's great. You can change the accent now. You can change the voice. But we're familiar with that voice ringing in our ears. And often for me, it's make a U-turn. Have you heard that one? Yeah. Down these country roads, often it's make a U-turn. But the important thing about any car journey, any journey, important thing is getting to the right place, isn't it? The important thing is getting to the right destination. Now, we spend a lot of time in our lives thinking about the right destination, whether it's driving around country roads like me, or maybe in life in general, our family lives, our careers. We often think about getting to the right destination. I wonder, have you ever really given serious thought to your ultimate, final, forever destination. Have you ever really thought about that? Beyond the here and now. And that's why I've got that question. You know, what is your destiny? Because in verses 18 to 19 here, we see that word destiny. And Paul is warning people with a wrong mindset where that wrong mindset will lead them to. Look with me at those couple of verses. Verse 18. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Now, I want you to notice the focus of this wrong mindset. It's verse 19, earthly things. J.B. Phillips translates it like this: the world is the limit of their horizon. So Paul's getting at people whose supreme focus is the here and now, consumed with the world. Now remember, this world, it's a messed up place, isn't it? It's fallen, it's sin-sick, it's broken down. Paul is getting at people who are consumed with the here and now. Now, who was he talking about in his original letter in terms of this culture? Well, maybe it was the legalists. Do you remember the legalists, the Judaizers we thought about? You know, chapter 3, verse 2, very strong language. The dogs, the evildoers, the mutilators of the flesh. Or maybe it's those who were preaching Christ out of selfish ambition in chapter 1, verse 17. Quite possibly. But here in verse 18, Paul gets specific about these people, their mindset, their agenda. And he calls them enemies of the cross. Now, what is it that makes someone an enemy of the cross? Well, isn't it someone who denies the power of the cross? Isn't it someone who denies the truth about what Jesus did at the cross? Who denies the fact that that was a substitutionary atonement where Jesus died in our place for our sins? Isn't it someone who denies that that was the full and final sufficient sacrifice for sin? An enemy of the cross. Isn't it someone who claims, as the false teachers did in Paul's day, that to be truly saved, you need Jesus plus good works. You need Jesus plus religion, effort, morality, all sorts of other stuff. Keep all the laws, keep all the traditions. You need to do all of that if you want to be right with God. Enemies of the cross. You have someone's preaching that sort of stuff. If someone's living with that sort of mindset and influencing others, and Paul calls them enemies of the cross, it's dangerous, isn't it? It's dangerous to turn away from the truth, to turn away from Jesus, to turn away from the gospel. And it's so dangerous, so destructive, when people take others with them. You Paul's description of these people is quite graphic, isn't it? It's very strong. You know, verse 19, he says, their God is their stomach. Very simply, they worship themselves. It's me, me, me. It's all about what I want. It's my agenda. Forget about God. I'll do it my way. It's a famous song many years ago, wasn't it? Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. So enemies of the cross celebrate things that they should be ashamed of. Take pride in things that are totally immoral, totally pagan, totally contrary to God's word. And we know about that stuff, don't we, in our culture today? Things that are celebrated, that are so far away from God's standards, so far away from the truth. But where does all that lead to? What is their destiny, these enemies of the cross? Well, verse 19, it's pretty clear, isn't it? Their destiny is destruction. You people who haven't trusted Jesus for salvation, people who preach a false message, people who veer away from the truth, who influence others, their destiny, Paul says, is destruction. You know, what he's saying there is eternal separation from God. It's irreversible, there's no going back. This is deadly serious, isn't it? And in verse 18, don't we get a sense of Paul's genuine, compassionate concern for people as he writes this. Because we read there that he writes these words with tears in his eyes. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul, maybe he had a scribe writing it down for him. Could you imagine him with tears tripping him? Emotional. Hurting for those people who are enemies of the cross. Broken in his heart for people who are lost. He's a real, genuine pastoral concern for the church, but also for unbelievers under the influence of these false teachers, people living outside of Christ who were headed for destruction. Paul thinks about these people. He writes to this church with tears in his eyes. Do I wonder, what is your destiny? That's a very important question as well, isn't it? Where are you and I headed to in terms of our forever destination? We may well have attended church for many years. We may well be very religious. We might have done all the right things. We might have been baptized and taken communion. We might be a very good person, very moral, upright in the community. All of those are good things. Of course they are. However, if we haven't trusted in Jesus for salvation, if we haven't been saved by grace, then our destiny, our destination, well, it's the same as it was for these enemies of the cross. The wrong mindset, the wrong way of seeing things, the wrong perspective leads to a very bad place. Now, if that's you today, if you're sitting there thinking, that's me, I haven't trusted Christ, I'm living outside of Jesus, I know that in my heart deep down. It doesn't have to be that way for you. You don't have to leave this building in that state. That can all change in an instant. Because Jesus invites you to come to him and receive salvation and be saved by grace and have this living hope. God can change our mindset. It's not what he did with Paul. Saul was wanting to destroy the church. His mind was set on annihilating believers. And yet he met Jesus and everything changed. That can happen for you right now in this building today if it hasn't happened already in your life. You can come and meet Jesus. Your heart can be changed. Your life can be changed. Your destiny can be different. You can look forward to heaven, to glory as Paul did. So what is your mindset? What is your destiny? Finally, and just for a few moments, verses 20 to 21, where is your citizenship? You and I, when we hear that word, and I know we thought about this a couple of months ago in chapter 1, but when you hear that word citizenship, you and I might produce our passports, isn't that right? We might call to those official documents. I'm a citizen of this country. I've got the rights, I've got the responsibilities, the privileges of being a citizen. I can travel as a citizen of this country. You might point towards that. It's quite interesting for this church at Philippi because they lived in Philippi, obviously. It was a leading city in Macedonia, but it was also a Roman colony. So all the believers, all the citizens of Philippi, they were entitled to Roman citizenship. And that was a really privileged status in those days. They had rights, they had privileges, yes, responsibilities, but that was something that was sought after. Citizenship. We might call our passports or our things like that, our official documents. But whatever our earthly citizenship is, whether for these people, Roman citizens all those years ago, whether for us, UK, Irish, whatever it is, the better question, the bigger question, the more important question is, where do we really belong? Where really is our home? Those are the more significant questions. And those are questions that Paul gets at in these couple of verses. Look at verses 20 to 21. Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Again, Paul is really clear here, isn't he? Believers, unlike the enemies of the cross, whose mindset is in earthly things, for believers, our outlook goes beyond this world, doesn't it? We shouldn't just be focused on the here and now. We shouldn't just be seeing all the problems, all the trials, all the stress, all the issues we face, all of that stuff. We shouldn't just be focused on that. Our outlook goes beyond this world, beyond earthly things, because we belong to Jesus, don't we? And our home is in heaven. We belong to Jesus and our home is in heaven. If you're a believer, that's true of you. As you sit in this building today, you belong to Jesus. Your home is not Le Comfort. It is for now, of course. It's not Macrofelt, Desert Martin, Tobermore. Ultimately, your home is in glory. It's in heaven. It's with Jesus. That's who we are. Isn't that the way we ought to see things in terms of our citizenship, in terms of who we belong to and where we're going, what our destiny is? And as citizens of heaven, as Paul writes here to the Philippians, we ought to be expectantly, earnestly, hopefully looking forward to that day when we'll go to be with Jesus forever. I wonder how often do you think about that? I know it's hard, isn't it? Because life is hard. Through the week, there are all sorts of things that compete for our attention. There are things that weigh upon us and that we struggle with. And we get almost blinded to these beautiful truths, don't we? But isn't it good to look at these couple of verses and to remember, look at verse 21. What are we going to be like? What's going to happen to us as believers? Well, we're told here that he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. You ever thought much about that? One day, we're going to go to see Jesus face to face. One day, we're going to be in his presence. One day, you and I, if we're believers, we're going home. But you want to go home? I want to go home. One day, we're going home. And it's going to be a glorious, beautiful day. I wonder, how do you see life right now? How do you see your circumstances? How do you see your trials, your pain, your joy? What's your mindset as you sit in this place? What's your destiny? Where's your citizenship? It's my prayer that for everyone here, when we think about those things, that we'll see them as Paul did. That our mindset will be dominated by the gospel, by Jesus, and by glory. Shall we take a moment and pray? Let's pray.